Hello, everyone, and welcome to day 9 of our Lenten journey as we continue to reflect upon St. Alphonsus's Lenten sermons. We are sharing again today what stood out to us and why. And Janelle, you're going first.
Sure. First off, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's been messaging and putting comments below. Like, you guys have such great questions. Mm-hmm. And I feel like reading these readings are really changing my perspective on a lot of different things, especially in terms of fasting. You know, I always just thought it meant like cutting things out. But he's really getting into like the nitty gritty of what, you know, doing different acts of penance, what that can look like. So what stood out to me today in the reading is this: God waits for the sinner that he may amend. And I just thought, that's so beautiful. God is waiting for us to turn our ways. And it made me think of the prodigal father who awaited the son. You know, how he would stand on his front porch or whatever, waiting and looking in the distance for that son to return. And that's what God does for us.
So for myself, my God, in this miserable state, I perceive that I have already deserved to be deprived of thy grace and deprived of light. Now, why did this stand out to me? Because sometimes when we're reading St. Alphonsus Liguori, and everyone's thinking, he's a little harsh. He is. But we have to remember our starting point. Our starting point is being lost. Our starting point is broken. Our starting point is that we don't deserve this life. Our starting point is that we don't deserve eternal salvation. Mm-hmm. So we act sometimes in the spiritual life as though we are entitled mm-hmm. to salvation. We're entitled to forgiveness. We're entitled to kindness. We're entitled to... No, our start... Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horsemen and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. There's nothing that we can do on our own effort to earn salvation. Nothing. So remember, everything that we have is because of God's goodness and kindness, and we don't deserve it. But because God is good, he comes to us. So let's rejoice in everything that we have, because it is all because of God's kindness and goodness. So that's why that line stood out to me. We deserve to be deprived of God's grace, but in his kindness, he comes to us. There is no greater punishment than when God permits a sinner to add sin to sin. So what comes to mind is Halloween, when our kids have a whole bunch of treats before them. We teach them that sugar is bad, but they like the sugar. Halloween, what happens? They eat as much junk food as they want on that one particular day, and our hope is they get sick of the candy. So we permit them to abuse, in one sense, this type of freedom. Could it be that God does this with us as well? That his punishment, if you want to call it that, is that he continues to allow us to abuse our freedom, to go back to the sin again and again and again. Also in hopes that we realize this is not good for us and we turn and go back to him.
Your object in eating must be to support the strength of the body and to be able to serve the Lord. The reason why this stood out to me is because for the last 7 years, I've been doing kind of like part-time on the side, these online faith and fitness accountability groups where I help people, you know, get into a routine of fitness, but also to help them in their nutrition. And I've always just encouraged people to see their food as their fuel. It's what propels us to be better able to serve God and then also to serve the people around us that God has put in our life. And so that's why I just feel like this really resonates with me, because it is true. Like, Our eating is there to support our strength and then also to serve God. St. Augustine said of St. Vincent that he spoke with such joy during his martyrdom that it seemed as if it were not the same person who suffered and who spoke. It was related that St. Lawrence, that while he was burning on the gridiron, such was the consolation he enjoyed in his soul that he insulted the tyrant, saying, "Turn and eat." How then, my Jesus, didst thou, who gavest such great joy to thy servants in dying, choose for thyself such extreme sorrowfulness in thy death?
So this stood out to me because we're hearing of these saints who are suffering a physical death, but they're doing it with great joy. And oftentimes we think, well, we could never have joy if we have physical suffering. And we see with the example of the saints, this is simply not true. But then some object and say, but Jesus was in the garden and he was sorrowful and he was even sweating drops of blood. How can you have joy with the saints and their suffering, but Jesus was sorrow? St. Alphonsus makes this connection that I never thought of before, because this actually point had bothered me. He says Jesus is not being afflicted so much because of the future physical suffering, but because he's being afflicted by the sins of men, which the saints weren't. So his suffering is different. It's more than simply the coming of physical suffering. It's the interior passion, the weight of sin that he's bearing for us. We encourage you to do the readings. They're so rich. There's so much that we skipped over, but we thank you for journeying this way with us. Please comment below. Share with us what stood out to you and why. And if you'd like to say the rosary, again, it's going to be linked right up there. See you tomorrow.